You're listening to Weekend Edition here on Michigan Public.
We're going to try not to touch the third rail, but we are going to talk about the third rail.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and here with us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, Rebecca.
And in addition to third rail, we've actually got a few different words that kind of feed into the political atmosphere, shall we say.
I think that's fair. I have had a couple of different people ask me about the word rail, and not just in third rail, but also in terms of railing against. So let's deal with that one first, Rebecca. This is a borrowing from Middle French into English, and it was a verb that meant to brag or boast or growl or bark. And I think with that, we can see how maybe it came by the 15th century to mean to complain persistently or vehemently. Now, Rebecca, do you, in your own usage, rail at, rail against, rail about?
I think I would rail against.
Okay. And that's not surprising. We have the data show that at was the most common preposition after rail, but starting around the middle of the 20th century, against becomes more common. You can also rail about, or you can just rail that. You can rail that someone's inept. I'm not sure that I can do that, but there's some evidence for it. Journalists are using it a lot right now. While you can find the verb some with Harris, for example, Harris is described as railing against Project 2025, it is used much more often with Trump, who is described as railing against, for example, cheating in elections and legal cases. So we are seeing that verb out and about. Now the third rail. Rebecca, is this a term that you use?
I wouldn't say that it's something I use regularly, but I know what it means, and I would know what it meant if somebody said it.
If I said, that's the third rail.
Don't touch it.
Exactly. So it comes from electric railways, and it refers to the extra rail that conveys the current. So to avoid electrocution, don't touch that rail. What I was surprised about, Rebecca, is how recent it is that this term is used in politics. The Oxford English Dictionary has it back to the 1980s. It looks like it may have been coined by an aide to Tip O'Neill. And here's a quote from Newsweek, 1982. Social Security is, in the words of one Democrat, the third rail of American politics, and the one great hazard that Ronald Reagan and his Republicans had hoped to avoid touching in election year 1982.
That is surprisingly recent. I would have thought it was much older.
I did too. And now there are different things that people will say are the third rail. Sometimes it's still Social Security. Sometimes it's climate change. But that's the history of third rail. Now, Rebecca, we got another question in the political realm. This one from David. And it was about which verb to use to talk about Biden's decision. Did he resign? Did he abdicate the presidency? Is this one that you've noticed?
I don't think I've noticed it, but I think because I do watch The Crown on Netflix, or did watch it, I might have to go ahead and rule out abdicate immediately. Like, I thought that there had to be a monarch involved. Biden's not a monarch.
And you're absolutely right that abdicate is often used with a throne or crown or some other high office, and that it could be used with a high office is where we see some overlap between abdicate and resign. They both can mean to give up an office, but as you know, to abdicate often with a throne. Resign is typically of one's own free will. There's some sense in dictionaries that abdicate is not voluntary. You can also abdicate a responsibility or abdicate oneself from a responsibility. But a lot of overlap here. As I was thinking about it, Rebecca, I thought, I actually think we need to be more accurate in how we talk about this. What Biden did was exit the race or drop out of the presidential race. He is still the president.
He's just not going to try again.
And that's our dip into politics for the day.
That's about as far in as I like to go on this program. Thanks so much, Anne.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
Anne Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and author of the new book, Says Who? A Kinder, Funner Usage Guide for Everyone Who Cares About Words. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you've got a language question, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.